This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court temporarily blocks Texas abortion restrictions.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Breaking news coming out of the United States Supreme Court and another big ruling. Just moments ago, the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily blocked Texas from enforcing its strict rules for abortion clinics. You may remember Texas passed limitations on abortions, which forced most clinics in that state to shut down. Texas lawmakers claim the rules were designed to improve safety. But of course, women's rights activists claim it's really designed to make it harder to get an abortion.
Today, the stay was granted, meaning temporarily at least, those two big new requirements will not go into effect July 1st in Texas. What happened is the petition went to Justice Scalia. It's simply based on geography. He could have decided alone, but he decided to refer this to the full court for a decision. Well, we know at least four or five of the justices voted for that stay because we had four dissenters, Justice Scalia, Alito, Thomas, and Roberts, who said they would not have voted for this stay.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Jordan's in our studio in Washington, D.C. I'm actually out of the country at the University of Oxford at Harris Manchester College dealing with a series of events tied into our defense of those being persecuted for their faith. But there was a major order that was issued by the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. And the reason we are discussing this is it's not getting the attention it should, and it is a very, very serious challenge. And that is Texas, as you know, had a law that was held constitutional by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that required certain requirements for abortion clinics to operate. And as the Fifth Circuit said, in plain terms, the Texas law and its provisions may be applied throughout Texas. It stated that the Texas stated purpose for enacting HB 2 was to provide the highest quality of care. There was no question that there's a legitimate purpose in regulating physicians and the facilities that perform abortions. This included admitting privileges for the doctors that perform these acts, these horrendous acts, and it also banned abortions after 20 weeks, except in the event of life of the mother being in jeopardy of rape or incest. The law passed. It was deemed constitutional by the Fifth Circuit, but the Supreme Court, Jordan, yesterday, late in the day, issued a stay, and this is very, very troubling.
That's absolutely right. This stay, it stays two provisions of the Texas restrictions. I remember, Dad, I was in Texas at a pro-life counseling center event speaking when the breaking news came through that Texas had passed this law and had won at the circuit level, had won at the Fourth Circuit level. And now, when we look at this, and we look at what happened here, the plaintiffs, again, this is the Planned Parenthood, the abortion providers, they sued the Texas officials to get injunction relief against two specific provisions. One, now see how realistic and just reasonable these restrictions were. That the laws had a physician admitting privilege requirement. That means the abortionist had to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. And two, that the abortion facility had to satisfy the same standards set for ambulatory surgical centers. Ambulatory surgical centers, not necessarily the best surgical centers, but ambulatory care. And both of those were too much for the abortion industry. And unfortunately, yesterday, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 move, because it was referred to the whole court, issued a stay on these going into place, an injunction on these going into place. And so this will now have to move through the courts.
And it's going right to the Supreme Court of the United States. Folks, we're going to come back. We've got a lot more analysis on this. Walter Weber, senior counsel for the ACLJ, is going to be joining us because this is one of a series of cases we're having to engage now very aggressively. Here's what we want to do. We want you to join with us and take a stand for life. That means adding your name to the committees that are filing briefs in all of these cases, including this one in Texas, but many others now that we have to engage. Jordan's going to give you the number or ACLJ.org. Call now and add your voice.
The number you call is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Or call now, 877-989-2255. You know, this is one of the reasons why this show exists, is because there's so much coming out of the Supreme Court the last few days. You don't want to miss this important case as well. Call now, stand for life, 877-989-2255.
It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The high court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, major news again out of the Supreme Court yesterday, very late in the day. The court issued a stay. It's the last day it was sitting, and they issued a stay of the pro-life decision out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that we celebrated as a victory of just a few weeks back. So Texas had a requirement, as Jordan mentioned before the break, very basic requirements: ban abortions after 20 weeks, ambulatory conditions in the abortion clinics, and that these abortionists have hospital admitting privileges, especially after the Gosnell situation. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 order yesterday, put a stay in place. That order was signed by the four liberal justices of the court, joined by Justice Kennedy. Now, this is not a decision on the merits. We're going to be bringing Walter Weber into the conversation in just a moment to really discuss this and the other cases. But, folks, we've got to take a stand for life. I mean, we're talking about multiple cases now. Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, District Court. We have to take a stand for life. I'm going to encourage you, on this, the last day of the month, go to aclj.org, sign your name to that committee, Standing for Life, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Take a stand for life, folks. We're in a serious fight. We've got Walter Weber joining us right now. Walter, let's get a kind of a lay of the land of first what happened in the case coming out of the Fifth Circuit and then the other case that you're also concerned with.
Sure. Well, both the Mississippi and the Texas cases involve regulations on abortion that are designed to increase the safety for the women who are actually having the abortions. So it's the kind of thing you think would be a consensus between both sides of the abortion debate. But unfortunately, it hasn't been, and the abortion practitioners tend to challenge everything. They view it as a threat to their business. So what happened in the Mississippi case was that the court struck down the regulations because the only remaining Mississippi abortion business allegedly couldn't meet the regulations. In other words, they seem to be saying it's better to have what we got than to make what we got safer if they can't meet the standards. I'm concerned with that. The other case out of Texas involves both the requirement that the abortionists have admitting privileges at a hospital and that the facility itself meet the standards for ambulatory surgical centers, that is to say, a certain set of standards that are designed to protect health. In that case, the district court had struck down pretty much everything. Court of Appeals had reversed in large part, although it allowed for as-applied relief as to one facility that apparently was sufficiently remote that they were claiming that there wouldn't be any other abortions available. And then the Supreme Court stayed that ruling, which unfortunately has the effect of putting back into place the bad district court decision.
Let's talk, Walter, about the procedural, because I think people are going to be confused here. The 5-4 order is not a decision on the merits. It's a stay. Now, the net effect of it, as you said, is that that law goes into effect, which is very, very troubling, because we were successful and the pro-life community was successful in having the law upheld at the Fifth Circuit. But this is a stay. The concern here is now that they will grant certiorari on the merits, and does this 5-4 decision, is it an ominous sign? What's your sense of that?
Right. Well, you know, the standard for granting a stay is that there be four justices who are willing to grant review. We already knew that from a previous trip to the Supreme Court in the Texas case, where the four liberal justices had voted to grant a stay in the case. So we knew there was a strong sentiment for taking the case. And Justice Kennedy, you know, it's hard to say. He may have just decided that, well, we're in a rush at the end of the term. I don't have time to look at this. They're claiming this is going to kind of jeopardize the health of women who are getting abortions. Let's put it on hold. We'll get to this soon enough. Or it might mean that he's sympathetic to the abortion challengers. You just can't tell.
But the reality is you're expecting one of these cases, or both, could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, they're technically, the one is technically there now, the other waiting.
Right, yeah. And what the Supreme Court does in cases like this is it either takes one case and holds the other, or it grants them both together, and it can do either one. The indications seem to be that it's more interested in the Texas case, and we may well see that the Mississippi case just gets held as a kind of tag-along, and all the actual fighting on both sides takes place in the Texas case, and then whatever decision comes down, say in the winter or spring of next year, would then bind or control the disposition of the Mississippi case.
So, Jordan, you said you were in Texas, actually, at speaking at an event and working with pro-life leaders in Texas when this decision, the Fifth Circuit, came out. I know there was a lot of enthusiasm for this decision.
There was, because this is the new fight, if you will, in the long, you know, decades-long battle against abortion, is that the new fight was putting into place common sense restrictions that make sense, that are reasonable. And when the Fifth Circuit came back and reversed the district court, I remember I was on the stage when that happened. I saw a breaking news alert. I said, you know what, usually I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to tell everybody here, because everyone at this, there are about 2,000 people there, and everyone there cares about this issue. And it would have cut already half the abortion clinics in Texas would have closed. There are some provisions of this very reasonable law that have remained and have actually been able to take effect. One is a rule that requires physicians to obtain admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic where they perform the procedure, a rule that mandates patients follow FDA protocol, and an abortion ban after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So those parts, I'm sure they will be challenged again, but those have already gone into effect, and so the number of abortion clinics in Texas, a very large state, has gone from 41 to 17.
So, Walter, in the scope of the fight for life, how big are these cases?
I think this is potentially a very big deal, and especially in a sense of educating the court. You know, when people go to the dentist or the skin doctor, you don't see ambulances pulling away with patients after the procedure on a regular basis. I don't think people realize. I mean, abortion, most people say, oh, abortion, I'm against it because it kills the baby. It's also very dangerous for the mother. Not everyone, obviously, has serious complications. But I've been following pretty attentively a lot of the pro-life news feeds, and they're just documenting ambulances pulling away from abortion facilities on a regular basis. And I think if the word got out, I mean, if you had a newspaper, like with the body counts from Vietnam, right, that had a big impact on the sense of the American public as, well, do we want to continue this war? If you had videos of the ambulances pulling away from the abortion businesses on a regular basis in abortion businesses across the country, people would be saying, hey, something's wrong with this picture. I don't trust these guys to regulate themselves. And if the state wants to say, here's the standards you've got to obey, that's a minimum they should be doing.
Walter Weber is a senior counsel with the ACLJ, very much involved in leadership on our life issues. And Walter, thanks for your insight on this. These are big cases, and I know the impact is something we're going to have to monitor very closely. Walter, thanks for being with us.
Sure, Jay.
Let me tell you this, folks. Let me read you the order that came out of the Supreme Court. It was 5-4. It was a stay request brought by the abortion industry to basically have the Fifth Circuit decision put on hold. Here's what the order actually says. The application for stay presented to Justice Scalia and by him referred to the court is granted. Now, that's not good. And the issuance of the mandate of the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in the case is stayed, which means the Fifth Circuit decision does not go into effect, pending the timely filing and disposition of a petition for writ of certiorari, which means the court has not yet decided to take the case. But should the petition for certiorari be denied, the stay will terminate automatically. But to get certiorari, folks, you only need four votes. We know those four votes are there. So a cert grant is about to happen. In the event the petition for certiorari is granted, the stay shall terminate upon the issuance of the judgment of the court, which means if the court decides to hear the case, which I'm convinced they will, then the stay will only be removed if we prevail. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas, and Justice Alito would deny the application. So the folks, this is now, I think, the most significant fight for life case, pro-life case in the country. As Jordan said, these are reasonable restrictions, but we are now going to be faced with not one, but possibly two cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I will tell you what I think we need to do. We need to react. We've got a petition that is up at ACLJ.org. You're actually signing on to a committee. We file these key briefs, sometimes it's representing members of Congress, sometimes it's representing individuals, sometimes it's both members of Congress and individuals. Our goal is to get over 250,000 people on this brief, because I think these cases, as Walter just said, and as Jordan told you when he was down there in Texas, this is a big deal. We've got information posted at ACLJ.org, but we really think that right now the key is to mobilize our team so that we can get in place, and this is what I think is really critical here, that we can get in place a brief that right now has 174,250 signatures. I want to get that up to 250,000. You can join with us on this, and I encourage you to do it. Jordan's going to give you the information right now to either the website or to call our toll-free number. We need everybody listening. This case is not getting a lot of discussion because the term just ended, but your ACLJ team is on top of this. We are not just monitoring it. We're litigating in these cases. Your voice will make a huge difference. Jordan, tell everybody what they can do to take a stand right now. Folks, I know it's the end of June, but the Supreme Court term is over. But this is what it ended on. This was the note it ended on. And we've got to pivot and deal with this right now, and that's what we're going to do.
I mean, this could be another major abortion case at the U.S. Supreme Court, and those don't come along very often. I mean, usually it's decades before you get one that is about these new restrictions. It includes the 20-week abortion ban. It includes, folks, the admitting privileges. It includes the standard of these facilities, that they have to have the ambulatory surgical center standards. It includes all of this. Folks, it's kind of the new battle for life, and we want you to stand with us. Call our toll-free number right now and add your name to the brief. It's 877-989-2255. Join this committee at 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org and join the committee to protect life online.
When it was first released last fall, Rise of ISIS skyrocketed to the top, becoming a number one New York Times bestseller. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team revealed the brutality of ISIS, the Islamic State, putting a much-needed spotlight on this real and present danger. Now this best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, has been revised and updated with critical new insight and new analysis. Find out how ISIS continues to expand, to dominate, to unleash unspeakable violence against Christians and others, and find out what needs to be done to stop them. A revised and updated edition of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, is available now at bookstores nationwide. Or you can order a copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Rise of ISIS, available now. It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The High Court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law, and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. We've got breaking news, and a day when we did not expect breaking news. The Supreme Court term ended yesterday, and, of course, a lot of major decisions came out last week. We gave you full analysis of those. But yesterday afternoon, an order came out of the Supreme Court, and if you've been listening to broadcasts, you know how concerned we are about this. An order came out on the case out of Texas, which was reasonable restrictions on abortion industry facilities. It is ambulatory care quality. It is the ability to make sure these abortionists have admitting privileges. We all know the story of the Herman Gosnell case. That was confirmed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously, saying what Texas law put in place, including a ban on abortions after 20 weeks, was in fact constitutional. Yesterday afternoon, in a 5-4 order, the court issued a stay. Now, Justice Kennedy joined the more liberal members of the court. This is very troubling because what we were really hoping for is that this case would not be reviewed by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court would deny review, and the decision of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals would stand. That is now not the case. And what I am saying is very clearly here. We have to be prepared for a Supreme Court battle on the life issue that is going to be huge. And we need everybody that's listening to stand with us as we develop this. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And add your name now to a series of briefs that will be found in maybe multiple cases. You heard what Walter Weber said just moments ago. It could be two cases at the Supreme Court and lower courts if necessary. I want to get, and this is important here, I want to get at least 250,000 people on this brief. But I will tell you this, folks, this is going to be a real battle. Jordan was just in Texas when this decision came out. And Jordan, you need to let everybody know, again, this was a pro-life event with crisis pregnancy centers, people involved in the pro-life community, over 2,000 people. This decision of the Fifth Circuit, which we were very happy about, was a big deal.
Oh, it absolutely was a big deal. The fact that it was allowed to go into force, that the law, because those who had been working in the pro-life movement for so long and providing that pro-life counseling, trying to be the other option for women who are out there in these trying to make these difficult decisions, trying to, you know, these were running the pro-life pregnancy centers. You know, there are a lot of volunteers, a lot of, again, people who are donating to keep these pro-life pregnancy centers open. And then they hear this news, and it affects, again, folks, half. Texas went from 41 to 17 abortion clinics overnight, 41 to 17. So I mean, more than half closed. And there were other parts of this law that haven't been litigated yet, not to this point, including the 20-week abortion ban, something we've talked about at the federal level as well, other admitting rules, and also some other standards of care, FDA protocol that has to be met when you ingest abortion medication. Those parts of the law have gone into force, and because of them, you've already got Texas down to 17 abortion clinics. If the rest of this law, Dad, was able to go into force, so when we talk about the admitting privileges and the ambulatory surgical center care standard, which you think abortion clinics by nature would have to meet anyways because they're performing invasive medical procedures, if that goes into force, we're talking about a handful of abortion clinics that would be left in Texas, and I think it would be a model for the rest of the country, and that's why this is important, because another way at getting at the abortion industry is not always overturning Roe versus Wade, but it's taking new approaches, new laws, and doing everything you can to make it difficult for these, make them meet the standards, and if they're so committed to providing abortions, make them meet the standards. But you know what? It hurts their bottom line too much, and they're a business. And when you're an abortion business, it's hurting your bottom line to have your facilities actually meet generic, pretty generic levels of care.
Right. And look, this is what this is about in some, in a very significant way. This is the front line of the abortion battle. And these abortionists don't even want to have standard, what's called normative medical care. I just got an email from Walter, who was just on the broadcast moments ago, and here's what he said. This is what we should operate. I'm reading his memo. We should operate on the assumption that the court will either grant review in Texas while holding Mississippi or possibly grant review in both Texas and Mississippi. And of course, there's no guarantees, but that is the odds-on favorite. So we may be looking at not just one case at the Supreme Court, but two cases in the Supreme Court on the pro-life issue. We are preparing to file briefs at the Supreme Court to vigorously defend the pro-life law out of Texas. The same is true for the case out of Mississippi. And this is where we need your help. Folks, this is, and it was at the end of the term, a 5-4 order, not a decision. But remember, it only takes four justices to grant review. And it's clearly there are five that would grant review. So these cases are going to be heard. We need you to join with us in this fight. You can do that right now by joining us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We'll be talking more about this in the next few days, obviously, as things develop, because we're obviously, this was a bit of a surprise. And when I say a surprise, is the term was coming to an end. The stays had been issued. We were very surprised that this stay was put in place, and it was put in place late in the day. But it is, as Walter and Jordan have said, and as our team has said, this is major cases involving the pro. If you're concerned about the right to life as a fundamental human right, well, this is two cases that we've got to be involved in front and center. And the fact of the matter is, Jordan, the abortion industry also knows what's at stake here. This is their business, as you just said, and they're going to do everything they can to fight us.
Folks, we want to hear from you. Call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to join our committee to protect life. We've got to be ready to fight these cases out long-term in the courts. This is the front line on the battle for life. Call now, 877-989-2255. It's absolutely free to join our committee to protect life, or go to aclj.org and join the committee online.
As Jordan just mentioned, look, this is a really critical stage and a very, I mean, you're talking about two Supreme Court cases is a probability. One, I would almost tell you it's a foregone conclusion. So we've got, as Jordan said, a real fight here. And folks, we're going to get you some more information about this later in the week. But this came out yesterday. I'm in Oxford, the University of Oxford. Jordan's in our offices in Washington, D.C., but we came in and obviously I'm on the air here because this case is such a significant move. We were not, you're never shocked with a Supreme Court order, but Justice Kennedy in the last few abortion cases has decided pro-life. This could be a switch, so we've got to do everything we can to convince this one justice of the righteousness of our cause. So we need you to do what Jordan said. Also the last day of the month, so if you thought about supporting the work of the ACLJ, what a great day to do it as we try to meet our goal for the month of June. You could do that at aclj.org. But again, Jordan's going to give you the numbers here or the ACLJ website. Sign on to these briefs. We're at 170,000. I want to get that up to 250,000 by the time we file at the Supreme Court.
Here you go, folks. The toll-free number you call to join our committee to protect life is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. It's absolutely free. Just pick up your phone, call, and join our committee to protect life. 877-989-2255. Now you can go to aclj.org. We've got an update on this case, which isn't getting as much attention, online right on the homepage of aclj.org. And there you can also join the committee to protect life. So if you'd rather do that by online instead of by phone, go to aclj.org now or call toll-free 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you next time.
Robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We've been focusing on the pro-life battles at the Supreme Court this term. It did not get a lot of attention, but a case out of Texas, the battle continues. We've got it fully updated for you at aclj.org. But how do we get there? How do we get to the point in the battle where we are fighting over admitting privileges and we're fighting over the standards that these facilities have to meet? Because it's a new way of approaching the battle for life, looking at what appears to most people logical, reasonable restrictions that these facilities and standards, these abortion facilities must meet. But the abortion industry, they don't like that. Like any other big business, they look at their bottom line, and this would hurt their bottom line. So they're fighting these in court. We've got to be ready for it. But we also have to know how we got to this point, to these more, I'd say, a little bit more sophisticated cases on technicalities. And it's about really the beginning of the pro-life movement. We have a DVD documentary called Choosing Life, The History of the Pro-Life Movement in America, that focuses in on these battles, these early battles. It was rough and tumble. And I want you to, we're going to play some of that for you today so you can hear the audio. It's available absolutely free at ACLJfilms.com. That's ACLJfilms.com. Let's take a listen now.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases from Texas and Georgia said that the decision to end a pregnancy during the first 3 months belongs to the woman and her doctor, not the government. Thus, the anti-abortion laws of 46 states were rendered unconstitutional.
If you look back now in 1973 and say, where were these organizations, like the ACLJ and others, of their generation, where were they on this issue? They didn't file briefs in the case, they didn't really respond to the case, and there was no national outcry of the case. The church was significantly asleep at the switch, but so were the American people.
The evangelical church, for the most part, was not even recognizing abortion. It wasn't on their radar screen.
It was on no one's radar screen as a significant issue. That changed when people started putting their lives in between the woman seeking the abortion and the abortionists themselves.
And so when we had rallies in the 70s, it was hysterical. You maybe had three people. All of them were median age would have been somewhere about 85 years old. It wasn't until about the mid to late 70s that the evangelical church started getting on board. Francis Schaeffer started addressing issues. People like Jerry Falwell.
I had strong political differences with Jerry Falwell, who, in spite of our differences, would have called me his friend and vice versa. We didn't agree on many political issues, but I gotta say this. When this man took a pro-life position, he took a pro-life position. All you had to do was call his office and say, I have a woman here, she's pregnant, she doesn't have the money, she doesn't have the means, can you help her? He would provide a total support system.
Jerry Falwell gets, you know, portrayed as this guy up in Lynchburg, Virginia, that who's paying attention to, and the fact was he was talking to millions of people every week on his radio and television broadcasts.
I think the church, all across the political spectrum, has to perhaps imitate the likes of Jerry Falwell. Not just talk the talk of being pro-life, but walk the walk.
Folks, when we come back, we'll play more from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. It's available absolutely free at aclj.com. That's aclj.com. And I want you to join our committee to protect life. This case out of Texas, this is a battle that's not going away. That came out right at the end of the Supreme Court's term. We've got to be ready to stand with the state of Texas in defending their reasonable restrictions and requirements and standards for these abortion facilities. Call now. Join our committee to protect life. 877-989-2255. What's happened in Texas since these restrictions went into place? There went from 41 to 17 abortion clinics. More than half the abortion clinics had to close because they didn't meet basic standards of ambulatory surgical centers, which is scary in itself, but tells you why we've got to fight these battles, because right now those restrictions are in jeopardy. There is a stay on those standards. Call now, join 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The high court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We've been focusing on the pro-life battles at the Supreme Court this term. It did not get a lot of attention, but a case out of Texas, the battle continues. We've got it fully updated for you at aclj.org. But how do we get there? How do we get to the point in the battle where we are fighting over admitting privileges and we're fighting over the standards that these facilities have to meet? Because it's a new way of approaching the battle for life, looking at what appears to most people logical, reasonable restrictions that these facilities and standards, these abortion facilities must meet. But the abortion industry, they don't like that. Like any other big business, they look at their bottom line, and this would hurt their bottom line. So they're fighting these in court. We've got to be ready for it. But we also have to know how we got to this point, to these more, I'd say, a little bit more sophisticated cases on technicalities. And it's about really the beginning of the pro-life movement. We have a DVD documentary called Choosing Life, The History of the Pro-Life Movement in America, that focuses in on these battles, these early battles. It was rough and tumble. And I want you to, we're going to play some of that for you today so you can hear the audio. It's available absolutely free at aclj films.com. That's aclj films.com. Let's take a listen now.
The abolitionists in the 1830s and 40s and 50s used to take black slaves that they had freed and bring them throughout the North so that people could see the scars on their back, the teeth knocked out, so that politicians that supported slavery would be ashamed and embarrassed, and so the people would rise up against it. We are in that tradition showing this baby.
Randall introduced two things. One, that if you had two at a clinic, suppose you had 200 kneel in prayer at a clinic. Then he introduced the concept of repentance and our responsibility.
Christians are waking up and saying, well, if they can be brutalized by police, if they can be dragged into federal court on trumped up charges, then it's only a matter of time till it could happen to us. So many Christians are joining the fray out of a healthy self-interest, an interest for their children, for their children's children. It's time that the body of Christ really looked itself in the mirror, in the face of the mirror, and said, what do we want to leave our children?
We have a moral obligation to rescue babies from murder. As Americans, we're blessed with many choices, but the right to kill our offspring and murder our children is not one of them.
It all gets hooked up into health care. It all should be free.
You have far more value than your boobs.
We should have housing.
Far more value in the eyes of God than your boobs. Yeah, a little bit more than somewhat of an activist. We went right to the front lines.
I've had three abortions, and I don't feel bad about any one of them.
Rob and Paul Shank are both Jewish Christians. They were in Buffalo, New York. They had a congregation in Buffalo. And they got heavily involved in the Life Movement, as a lot of Jewish Christians did.
My brother was the pastor of one of the leading churches in our community. I was a minister on the staff of that church. Members of our church had moved into a new house where next door they thought was a medical facility. But she would do the dishes at night and watch out the kitchen window and see the staff of this medical facility coming out into the parking lot and holding up what appeared to be some kind of trash bags.
And she was there in the house rocking her little baby in the front window when she noticed him hold these bags up to the sky. It was a sunny day like today. And they appeared to have liquid and matter in them. And he poked them a little bit, and then he walked back here to the dumpster and he opened it and threw them in. And then he jumped in his silver Peugeot and he drove away.
Well, that made this woman very suspicious. She thought somebody's breaking the health codes. You can't throw medical waste into an open garbage dumpster. They had small children. She was concerned about their safety. So her husband, who happened to be an inspector for the IRS, came home and she asked him, please investigate and find out what these people are doing. Well, he retrieved one of those bags, and in that bag were the remains of 9 aborted babies.
And that was the first time that I saw the primary victim of abortion.
They brought the bag to my brother, their pastor's office, laid it on his desk and said, look inside. And my brother looked inside the bag and he said every human instinct inside him wanted to put these babies back together again.
They were little babies, fit in the palm of your hand, but they were little boys and girls, you could tell that. One little girl had a dimple in her cheek, but her head had been severed in half, her arms and legs torn from her, her body disemboweled.
And it was so stunning to him, he was almost in shock for a couple of days, and then decided these babies deserve the dignity of burial.
Well, we came back here a month later and we had an open casket funeral service right on this sidewalk. And about 400 people attended. This sidewalk, clear from here on up to the main street and all the way across, was filled with people. 2 chiefs of police, the town supervisor, the mayor of the town, all came and participated. We had the longest motorcade anyone could remember in the town's history.
I invite, as I say, everybody in our city, pro-life, pro-choice, and although I am pro-life.
We buried those babies at Mount Olive Cemetery, right around the corner from my church here. And that's really how this whole story began to unravel. That was September 1987.
My brother said, you have to come with me.
Individuals that had experience with the Holocaust in their own family and understood that these were really life and death issues, there's a special burden put on those of us that carry that. And the Shanks had that burden, as I do.
I am Jewish by birth, Christian by faith. And my father made sure that all of his 4 children were fully educated in the Holocaust, what the Nazis did to the Jews in Germany. And I recall sitting on his lap and looking at these ghoulish photos of mass graves with women, children, and men in those graves. And the visual imagery of abortion brought all that into reality.
Pat Mahoney is the perfect example of the classic social liberal, except on the issue of abortion. Pat was an activist. He marched for the civil rights movement. So this was a natural outgrowth for him.
It was as simple as loving your neighbor as yourself. I never really considered myself a pro-life leader or a pro-life ministry. I always looked at this as quite simply following the teachings of Scripture. And when Jesus identified our neighbor, he didn't base it on geography, but he based it on need. The Good Samaritan, the person who was most in need. So I think any objective look at our culture and society, the person most in need in our society and culture today are these innocent children and these women who are facing these challenging pregnancies.
He was the one that the pro-abortion groups could at least say was a decent guy.
My political leanings, I'd like to think, are consistent, but they're perhaps a bit eclectic with many faith groups. I'm not a conservative. I'm a Democrat. I'm a pacifist. I'm opposed to war, opposed to the death penalty. So in the late 70s, mostly Catholic peace groups started employing peaceful civil disobedience.
The abortion clinic has become the altar of convenience, the altar of comfort, of self-will, of promoting selfish desires above the will of God. So America, I want to plead with you and implore you, look what's happening in New York, and it can happen next in Topeka, Indianapolis, Virginia Beach, the heartland of America, 5 to 7 years down the road.
He was very useful in that regard for a movement. And as a lawyer, he was useful as a witness because he presented a good, strong civil rights background to this issue, which was very helpful.
For me, there was no one sort of epiphany. There was no personal experience. There was no life-changing event. It was just a simple looking at scripture, loving my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor and how do I love them?
The abortion battles of the late 80s, early 1990s, when it seemed like these tectonic plates in our culture were pressing against one another. You had two distinct worldviews.
We must work to make child killing illegal, unthinkable in this country. In the meantime, we also must go right down to these very fortresses of hell where babies are being killed and do all that we can to save those children from death.
Folks, when we come back, we'll play more from our DVD documentary, Choosing Life. It's available absolutely free at ACLJfilms.com. That's ACLJfilms.com. And I want you to join our committee to protect life. This case out of Texas, this is a battle that's not going away. That came out right at the end of the Supreme Court's term. We've got to be ready to stand with the state of Texas in defending their reasonable restrictions and requirements and standards for these abortion facilities. Call now. Join our committee to protect life. 877-989-2255. What's happened in Texas since these restrictions went into place? There went from 41 to 17 abortion clinics. More than half the abortion clinics had to close because they didn't meet basic standards of ambulatory surgical centers, which is scary in itself, but tells you why we've got to fight these battles, because right now those restrictions are in jeopardy. There's a stay on those standards. Call now. Join 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
It's being called the biggest abortion case at the United States Supreme Court in 25 years. The High Court has temporarily blocked a critical pro-life Texas law. Now the lives of thousands of babies and women are at stake. Texas passed a critical pro-life law requiring basic safety standards at abortion clinics and ensured that women injured in abortions could be quickly admitted to hospitals. Abortion zealots did all they could to oppose this law and have now turned to the Supreme Court to stop it. Stand with the ACLJ in defense of the life of the unborn. We're preparing to file a critical amicus brief to vigorously defend life and uphold these pro-life laws. Add your name today. Sign on to our committee to defend pro-life laws and save lives. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Live. This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We've been focusing on the pro-life battles at the Supreme Court this term. It did not get a lot of attention, but a case out of Texas, the battle continues. We've got it fully updated for you at ACLJ.org. But how do we get there? How do we get to the point in the battle where we are fighting over admitting privileges and we're fighting over the standards that these facilities have to meet? Because it's a new way of approaching the battle for life, looking at what appears to most people logical, reasonable restrictions that these facilities and standards, these abortion facilities must meet. But the abortion industry, they don't like that. Like any other big business, they look at their bottom line, and this would hurt their bottom line. So they're fighting these in court. We've got to be ready for it. But we also have to know how we got to this point, to these more, I'd say, a little bit more sophisticated cases on technicalities. And it's about really the beginning of the pro-life movement. We have a DVD documentary called Choosing Life, The History of the Pro-Life Movement in America, that focuses in on these battles, these early battles. It was rough and tumble. And I want you to, we're going to play some of that for you today so you can hear the audio. It's available absolutely free at ACLJfilms.com. That's ACLJfilms.com. Let's take a listen now.
The politics of confrontation were in evidence again today on the streets of Atlanta. After a month of relative quiet, anti-abortion protesters returned to the streets, vowing to shut down city abortion clinics. The Atlanta police vow they will not, as ABC's Mark Potter reports the results were predictable.
People like Randall Terry and Pat Mahoney and the Shanks and about 1,500 other people were in jail because they were willing to put their life in between the woman seeking access to abortion and the abortionist.
S-E-K-U-L-O-W. First name is Jay Sekulow. I'm the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. Jay, not Jason.
Got a call from a person that knew that I was a lawyer, that I had an office in Atlanta at the time, that I had done the Jews for Jesus case at the Supreme Court of the United States, and that he knew something about free speech.
Yesterday, police arrested the protest leader on criminal conspiracy charges. The city also filed a lawsuit.
Actually, it was a spiritual moment for me. I was walking in the jail, and I don't say this lightly, and it's not happened to me often in life, but I walked in the jail, and I mean, I really felt an impression from the Lord that I am supposed to represent this guy who I never met at that point, didn't know who he was.
It was strictly trying to intimidate us and put fear into the hearts of people to try and crush the back of this thing.
And I went in to tell him I wasn't going to do it, I wasn't going to represent him. But I decided, as I said, I mean, I really thought I heard from the Lord on this, and I went in and ended up telling him I would represent him.
And today, at the demonstration sites, the police got tougher, arresting about 200 protesters, handcuffing and dragging to prison buses those who refused to walk.
Well, we're just appalled that the city of Atlanta would violate the constitutional rights of 18 Christians who chose to stand on a sidewalk, not blocking that sidewalk, and to kneel on that sidewalk to pray for an end to the Holocaust of abortion in this nation.
Protest leaders say they will ignore a judge's order today that demonstrators be fined if they continue to harass clients at abortion clinics. Mark Potter, ABC News, Atlanta.
Well, it was interesting because the injunction was issued against Operation Rescue and its affiliates, but it did not name any other individuals, of course. So Christians in Atlanta that wanted to engage in this, including the pastor of our church, at the time, Bill Haynes and my wife, Pam, and some friends of ours, Gina Robertson and others, went down to that very same abortion clinic and simply got on their knees and prayed on a public sidewalk. The police ultimately came. Motorcycle police came up.
Miss Buchanan is the, you're the director, clinic manager. Okay, that's right. Who is this? What's your name, ma'am?
I'm Rita Barnes, and I'm community relations.
How many abortions take place here?
What, you mean by week or by year?
Or whatever.
Usually it's measured by year. About 4,000? 3,000 to 4,000.
We do.
Which is that
70 to 80 a week, something like that. 70 to 80 abortions a year.
We
see about 200 women a week in this clinic.
And they were threatened with arrest.
If they threaten with arrest, we'll run it to federal court today. If they don't threaten with arrest, I may run it to state court if they cite him for contempt. We'll be running it to some court. I need Pat 211. Okay? If I have to have you stall the officer, stall him. Call him at the hotel.
Okay, well, that's not the way at 1200.
Room 211. Right. Wrong.
That was Pat Monahan. We had gotten, this was in the old days, the cell phones were about the size of a shoe, and we'd just gotten this technology, and Pat was handling one series of cases, and I was handling another, and we were just trying to coordinate our defense approaches because we knew ultimately these cases were going to end up at the Supreme Court, and they were moving really quickly.
Don't even let him get cited. Tell him not to get him cited. You're not going to get cited. Don't worry. Okay, I'm going to tell him not to get cited. Okay? If the police officers come and ask to take the pictures, I'm going to tell them to leave. And then we'll go right into federal court.
You want to just walk away if they come inside?
I think so. I'm going to go right next to the clients, and I'm going to tell them to leave. You don't have the right to take them on a public. I'm going to ask them what the reason is. I'm going to take the pic. Not if they don't want to take them, they can't. They can just walk out and leave. If they don't put them under arrest, they cannot do it. That's the law. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to disengage with you. You stay right there, and I'm going to go over there with the camera as they're doing this, okay? They're starting right now. Hold on. Is this your position, officer? Is it your position, officer, that these people are violating the injunction issued on March 29th, 1990?
That's correct.
And your name, officer?
Sergeant James.
Sergeant. And your name, officer?
W.
Are you instructing these people to leave, officer?
What I'm instructing them is they're in violation of this court order.
Okay.
Which says they cannot demonstrate within 50 feet. I'm serving you with a copy of said order. I'd like your name, please, if I might.
My name is Jay Sekulow. I'm the attorney. I represent all of these people right here.
J-A-Y.
S-E-K-U-L-O-W is the last name. The first name is J-A-Y.
We're slow.
I know that. What are you telling me about this order?
I'm advising that these persons are in violation of this order that was issued.
Okay, my understanding is this injunction is only against Operation Rescue, the named defendants, and those in active concert with them. Do you have any evidence that these people are in active concert with Operation Rescue?
I'm basing my opinion on paragraph one. I'm not the city attorney.
So your position is that no person includes all people? That's correct. Okay, that's your position. So I understand that you've given me the injunction. I have a copy of it.
Yes, thank you. Sir?
I'm his attorney, so you can just tell me also.
I'd like to give him personally a copy of the injunction.
Okay.
About these violations of said
injunction. Call Pat. Let's go.
Give him what he
is. You have your name,
please. Don't watch yourself. It's a lawsuit.
Steve Britt.
B-R-I-T-T.
B-R-I-T-T.
Are you arresting these people, by the way?
No, I'm not arresting.
Okay, then why do you need their names?
The police officers required them to give them ID and name verification, and I instructed our clients, which included, as I said, our pastor and my wife, to not do that.
Choosing Life. It's available absolutely free at ACLJfilms.com. That's ACLJfilms.com. And I want you to join our committee to protect life. This case out of Texas, this is a battle that's not going away. That came out right at the end of the Supreme Court's term. We've got to be ready to stand with the state of Texas in defending their reasonable restrictions and requirements and standards for these abortion facilities. Call now. Join our committee to protect life. 877-989-2255. What's happened in Texas since these restrictions went into place? There went from 41 to 17 abortion clinics. More than half the abortion clinics had to close because they didn't meet basic standards of ambulatory surgical centers, which is scary in itself, but tells you why we've got to fight these battles, because right now those restrictions are in jeopardy. There's a stay on those standards. Call now, join 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org.
Robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.